That, the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 913. 913 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. You can hear our streaming videos simply clicking on that and going down to the streaming videos every single day, 24/7. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its ninth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Pilot, ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, so it's a 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Not another Bible in the world like it, the defined King James Bible. Joyce of 12-point, as I say, and 10-point. 51,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The defined King James Bible. All right, I'm continuing this analysis now. This chapter of this book, The Making of the NIV by Kenneth Barger, but the chapter is chapter 14, The KJV and the NIV by Edwin H. Palmer. Palmer has written this chapter 14, or certainly against the chapter. We're on page 142 of the book, and here are some of the examples, he says, of misleading or obscure readings in the King James Version. Now, this man is opposed to the King James Bible. He's got 91 of these so-called misleading or obscure readings in the King James Bible. Well, so what if it's obscure? That's why we have a defined King James Bible, to get these uncommon words and write out into the open so we can understand them and see what they mean if there's a question. Here's number one out of 91, Genesis 2, verse 4. King James says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth." End of quote. The Hebrew term for generations is an important one in Genesis and occurs 10 times, he says, to mark new sections and so on. It's repeated in Genesis 36, 9 for emphasis. And the NIV says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth." My friend, generations is a good word in the English language, and it's a good word for the generations meaning the beginnings of the heavens and of the earth. Nothing wrong with it. Generate means to begin, to begin. Regenerate means to begin anew, born again, regeneration. So this is a good word for the beginnings of the heavens and of the earth. Point number two that this man, Palmer, hates about the King James Bible out of 91, Genesis 4, verse 1. King James says, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." What's wrong with that? NIV says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." My friend, there's no word for help in here. The Hebrew text is clear. It says, "I have gotten, I have received." Here's the answer to this dilemma that Eve had after the situation. "I have gotten a man. I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she says, with the help, adding the help. That's a blasphemous thing to add to the words of God. You don't have the "with the help of man." He's trying to clarify he likes his NIV better, but it's worse when it defiles and destroys and adds to, subtracts from, or changes the words of the living God in the Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. Point number three that this man, Palmer, hates out of 91 of the King James Bible, Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. King James says, "Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." What's wrong with that? Suffered, this just simply means I didn't allow her to touch her. And the NIV says, "That is why I did not let you touch her." Well, my friend, "I suffered not thee to touch her." What's the difference? "Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." That's the King James. And he said, "This is why." Well, what's wrong with "therefore"? "This is why I suffered thee not to touch her. I did not let you touch her." just because they don't word the word suffered. My friend, that's the King James language. Suffer the little children to come unto me. It's not an error. These things, according to this man Palmer, are errors in the King James Bible. And they're not errors. If he knew anything about 1611 English, he'd know that suffer means to permit, to allow, and so on. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Permit them to come. That's why we have the defined King James Bible. Published for the Bible for today. Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. That's all Palmer should have gotten. Of course, he's dead now. But he should have gotten something like that instead of criticizing the King James Bible and making out as if it's some big fat error, which it's not. Number four out of the 91 things that this man Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Genesis 21 and verse 31. King James says, wherefore, he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. End of quote. What did they swear? Both of them? Oh, for Pete's sake, what in the world, pardon me, what on earth is this man saying here? They swear, both of them. That means both of them swear. It isn't that they swear, both of them, as if that's the object of the word swear. Both of them swear. They took an oath. Clear as crystal for anybody that understands English. And so he says, rather, here's the NIV. So that place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. Now, they have added to the words of God. They're trying to explain it and explaining it away. The two men. It just says they both. It doesn't say anything about men. They both. They add a noun instead of a pronoun, they, and put in two men instead of both, and then swear an oath there. No, it simply says they both swear. There they swear, both of them. It says swear an oath. Well, now, that's an additional thing. They swear. Well, an oath is an additional thing. The oath is in the word swear. Swear means to take an oath. And so they have botched the whole thing. They have added the words of God, trying to explain it when in the King James is clear as crystal, if anybody understands that plain English. 1611, yes, or the defined King James Bible to clear up some things. Point number five that this man Palmer hates about the King James Bible out of 91, Genesis 26:8. The King James says, saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with his wife. What's wrong with that? And here's the NIV. Isaac was caressing his wife. Well, sporting, again, a King James Bible. They're almost seeming as if this is an error in translation. My friend, it's simply a changing in the meaning of words. Sporting means caressing or having marital love with his wife. And this is a King James. That's why defined King James Bible is the way to go. Don't change your Bibles. Don't add to the confusion by taking the New International Version and using that, which adds to the King James Bible, or to the Hebrew and Greek, I should say, and subtracts from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and changes the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek upwards of 6,658 times, and I stop counting. Many thousands or more. You can't trust the NIV for accuracy. You can trust the King James Bible, and simply get this defined King James Bible if you don't have a trouble and problem with understanding words that are uncommon today. All right, point number six that this man Palmer hates about the King James Bible, out of 91, Genesis 26:10. The King James Bible says, one of the people might have lightly lien with thy wife. What's wrong with that? The NIV says, one of the men. Now, this is one of the people. They say men might well have slept with your wife. What do you think lying means, L-I-E-N? That means to sleep, to lie down with, and so on. There's nothing wrong. There's no error here. It's just a question of uncommon words in the King James. That's why we have a defined King James Bible. Don't switch Bibles. That is perfectly accurate translation in 1611, and Palmer is casting doubt about it. Strange, indeed. Point number seven out of the 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Genesis 26:31. King James says, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and I be early the next morning. My friend, betimes means early. He's trying to poke fun at the King James Bible. Just simply get a defined King James Bible, and you'll find out what betimes means. There's no mistranslation. He's implying there's mistranslation. He says, example of misleading or obscure readings of the King James Bible. That's simply a good translation, an accurate translation, All you have to do is know the Good Times majorly. Don't switch to the NIV. Point number 8 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is found in Genesis 29, 29, and 30, where the King James accurately says, to whom does the... Well, no, he's asking the question, to whom does the he refer in verse 30 of the King James Version? Here's what they say. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel. Obviously, it's Jacob went in unto Rachel. And he loved Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 more years. It's all referring to Jacob. And he says, who is the antecedent of he? Laban? Of course. But that is wrong. No, it's not Laban. It's simply Jacob. And it's clear as anything if this man Palmer would simply read clear, straight English. The he is the same he that served with him yet 7 other years. And it is simply Jacob. And he says the Hebrew meant Jacob. Well, so the NIV substantiated. They said Jacob for the he. There are other confusions in the simple narrative and so on. And so the NIV says, now the NIV, Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel, to her maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also. Now, my friend, in verse 30, Palmer has a problem with me. Palmer has a problem with the Lord. Palmer has a problem with the Lord. Because Jacob does not occur in the first word of chapter 29 and verse 30. Verse 30 begins in the Hebrew language with and he. And they leave off the and, they said Jacob lay, adding to the words of God. They change the pronoun he into a noun, Jacob, just for interpretation. My friend, we don't want interpretation in the translation. We want translation. What does the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek say in verse 30? It says he. And it refers to Jacob, yes. Jacob, they say, lay with Rachel also. And he loved Rachel more than Leah, and so on he worked for him. So the NIV makes confusing pronouns clear by substituting the proper noun when necessary. My friend, it is never necessary in a translation to substitute a proper noun for a pronoun. That is a no-no of translation. Who says that they have the right to add to the words of God? Change the words of God, or make subtract from the words of God. Here they're adding a noun when the Hebrew text clearly and the King James accurately translates a pronoun instead. This is false translation. This is perversion of the NIV. And Palmer should be ashamed of himself and ashamed of the NIV instead of saying, by substituting the proper noun when necessary. Yet don't substitute what isn't there. If you're translating, now if you're paraphrasing, if you're perverting, as the NIV has done repeatedly, then, of course, you can add any time you want to add. But that's not translation. That's paraphrase, and that's perversion, and that's sin in the eyes of God. God says clearly, thou shalt not add to my words. Thou shalt not subtract from my words or take away from my words. But you must keep the words that I've given to you. Over and over and over again in Scripture, these things are true. Now let's move on to point number 9 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Genesis 30, verse 27 to 29. Another case of confusion in the King James, he says. The King James says, Laban said unto him, and he said unto him, son, who are those that are the he's? The most natural explanation would be Laban. My friend, the context clearly indicates it's Jacob. And so the NIV reads, Laban said to him, he added, Jacob said to him. So they're adding Jacob when the pronoun is in the Hebrew, the pronoun is accurately translated in the King James Bible, and the NIV wrongly and sinfully adds the word Jacob, interpreting rather than translating in this verse. Verse 25, or 26. They say, Jacob said to him. Then he says, by using the word added and substituting Jacob for he in verse 29, the KJV confusion is cleared up immediately. My friend, there's no confusion in the King James Bible to start with. The context indicates clearly it's talking about Jacob, and Palmer is making a mountain out of a molehill. He's making a problem. He's creating a problem when there is no problem. That is sin, to add to the words of God. Let's go to point number 10 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible out of 91. On page 143 of this book, The Making of the NIV, it's Leviticus 13, 47. And other places in Leviticus 13 and 14. King James Bible clearly says, the garment, also that the plague of leprosy is in. The garment, also that the plague of leprosy is in. A piece of cloth cannot have leprosy. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean, Mr. Palmer? It says, the garment that the plague of leprosy is in. My friend, leprosy contamination had touched the garment. The leprous germs had touched the garment. And that's what the King James Bible clearly indicates. The cloth, the garment, also that the plague of leprosy is in, the one that has been robed around the leper. That's what to do with it. And they say even some modern translations use leprous disease, and the NASB and so on, and the NIV, any quote, contaminated with mildew. My friend, mildew? The NIV is interpreting leprosy for mildew? My friend, leprosy in Leviticus 13 and 14 was a deadly disease. It kills. It contaminates. A leprous people had to be put out of the camp. It is a disease that is contagious. Are you going to tell me that this word just simply means mildew? Can mildew kill? Can mildew cause people to die? Do you have to be put out of the camp if you have mildew? Absolutely false. Changing the words of the living God. Making some disease that is serious into some simple thing such as mildew, which will not kill, which will not contaminate, and which will not do any bodily harm to anybody. False substitution of the Word of God. Palmer should be ashamed of himself for pushing the NIV in all these areas, especially this mildew situation. Point number 11. Out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James, Joshua 12, verse 4. The King James says, the coast of Og. Now he says, it has nothing to do with water. They say, the territory of Og. My friend, coast does not only mean water. The coast of Og, the coast in the King James Bible, 1611, simply meant the territory, the surrounding place, the boundaries. Since when does Palmer come in with his big brain and strange views and say that coast has to have to do with water? He should simply check the 1611. What he's doing is implying there's errors in our King James Bible, errors of translation. And that is absolutely false. Coast has to do with boundary. Territory is fine, but coast is all right. Point number 12 out of 91 things that the Palmer hates about the King James Bible is 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 2, where the King James says, told. And the NIV says, conscripted. Told versus, well, all you have to do is look up the word told in 1611. It's clear about the armies, conscripted. And so, just implying that there's errors in the King James Bible is false. Point number 13 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 7, where they use the word brass. And Palmer says, brass was not known in Solomon's days, hence the NIV's bronze. My friend, there's an entire article by Dr. Jack Mormon called Coney's Brass and Easter. He clears this thing up as far as brass. Nothing wrong with the word brass. Check your 1611, see what the word brass means, and why are you quibbling about simple things like bronze versus brass? It's the same thing if you look up the meaning of the word brass in 1611. That's why we need the defined King James Bible, which we're trying to give every one of our listeners, so that they won't be confused by uncommon words in the King James. Right, point number 14. Out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 7. The King James Bible says, cunning to work in gold. The NIV says, skilled to work in gold. My friend, cunning means skilled. Again, the defined King James Bible, what does cunning mean? It's an uncommon word, and it means someone that's really able to do this thing. Skilled is right. But cunning is exactly what it translates to be. There's no error in translation here that Palmer's implying throughout these different things that he hates. Point number 15 out of 91. Things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 7. But the King James says, a man that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem. What's wrong with that? The NIV says, a man experienced in the art of engraving. Skill to grave. Skill means experience, means one knows, not only experience, but knows how properly to grave and engrave. And then they go on, skilled men, the art of engraving, to work in Judah and Jerusalem with my skilled craftsmen. Well, it simply says to work in Jerusalem with me in Jerusalem and in the cunning men that are with me, the cunning men, those also skilled. There's no problem with this word cunning or can skill to do it. That means those that are able and skilled and as far as that's concerned, do a good job of it. Right? Point number 16 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Nehemiah 1 and verse 5. It says in the King James, the great and terrible God. He says, Palmer says, in 1611, the word terrible meant awesome. Today it usually means bad, wretched, full of terror. And therefore, in contemporary English, terrible can be misleading. It should be the great and awesome God, end of quote. My friend, terrible is an excellent translation of the Hebrew word that is here. And what Palmer's trying to do is saying that that is not proper, and that's not a good translation for that Hebrew word. Absolutely false. Again, the fine King James Bible tells about some of these uncommon words, and it's a good translation, and Palmer should love it, and if he doesn't understand it, he should have gotten, before he died, the fine King James Bible, which, by the way, was not printed when he died, before he died, but that's what you ought to get, my friend, if you have any questions with some of these words that seem uncommon. All right, let's go on to the 17th point that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, out of 91. Job 20. In verse 3. Now, it's interesting. He just hates 16 things from Genesis over to Nehemiah and up into Job. Just 16 things. That's a very few things, isn't it? Why, if he hates all these, he should find many, many more than that if he's really quibbling about some of these uncommon words. Point number 17 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James, Job 20, verse 3. I have heard the check of my reproach, says the King James. The NIV says, I heard hear a rebuke that dishonors me. The check, that is something that is a rebuke of my reproach. Again, it's an excellent translation, and you just have to use the defined King James Bible to find out what this word check of my reproach means. I have heard the check of my reproach, and so on. This is a good translation, and he's trying to imply that it's a bad one. Point number 18 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Job 22:10-11. King James says, therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Now what's wrong with that in the King James Bible? Very clear and plain. The last half of the sentence has no clear meaning. Well, maybe not to Palmer, certainly has to me. That thou canst not see, an abundance of waters cover thee. In other words, he's in a terrible storm of life. He's in difficulty. There's no problem about that. It certainly has meaning. Words just hang there between semicolons and a period. Compare the clarity of the NIV. It says, that is why snares are all around me, and why sudden peril terrifies you, why it is so dark you cannot see, and why a flood of waters covers you. What's wrong with that? Sudden fear troubles you. They say there are snares round about. That's exactly what it says. Sudden fear troubles you. They say sudden peril terrifies you. Well, that's all the same. Why is it so dark? The NIV says, the King James says, the darkness troubles thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. That's accurate literal translation of the King James Bible, and the NIV paraphrases and changes words when they should not and ought not to be and need not to be changed. Let's go to point number Number 19. Point number 19 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. That's in Job 36 and verse 33. The King James says, the noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. The NIV, the thunder announces the coming storm. Now, wait a minute. The noise thereof showeth concerning it. That is, the thunder is the noise showeth concerning it. There is no word for thunder as noise. They translate thunder, all right. Announces the coming storm. Showeth concerning it. There's no coming storm in here. How can they add this to the words of God? There's no Hebrew word for coming storm. It just simply says concerning it. And the context shows that it talks about the thunderous storm that's coming. Then it says, even the cattle make known its approach. It says, record the cattle also concerning the vapor. There's no word for approach here. It's certainly the vapor. In other words, the rain, the storm, whatever it may be, the cattle also know about it. It shows the coming of the vapor. And they've added the scripture saying they make known its approach. So point number 20 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, that's found in Psalm 67, verses 3 and 5. The King James Bible says people four times. He says the Hebrew is not talking about separate individuals, but groups of people and nations. Hence the NIV's peoples. The difference is only in an S, but what a difference in meaning. My friend, he's quibbling about people versus peoples. People versus peoples. People was an excellent translation of the King James Bible for the Hebrew text in that book of Job, and it's just as good today as it was then. And if they don't understand what people have to say, peoples, something's wrong to criticize the King James Bible for saying people instead of peoples. People means peoples. If you interpret it right, there are many people here. Do I have to say there are many peoples here just because a lot of people? Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man have any, shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you're going to have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friend, we're going to continue this next week. We're going to continue looking at the simple, foolish, crazy slights and smears and attacks against our King James Bible. These are from Palmer, chapter 14 of The Making of the NIV. It's senseless. He's got 91 of these things that he thinks are errors in the King James Bible's translation. They're good, they're fine, and the NIV is not fine and not good and adding to the words of God. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present The Bible for Today at the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 914. 914 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforthetoday.org. Our website is BibleForToday.org, where you can see streaming videos preaching word by word, verse by verse, from our Bible for Today ministry 24/7. BibleForToday.org. If you'd like to hear from you, we'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its ninth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why don't you ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today, Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 51,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this analysis of the making of the NIV, and especially chapter 14, King James Version versus the NIV by Edwin Palmer. He's got 91 things that he thinks are wrong with the King James Bible translation. He hates the King James Bible. He wants the NIV to supplant it. We're on page 144, and we're on point number 21 out of 91, and Palmer says this, Psalm 119 out of 147, which he hates about the King James Bible. Psalm 119, 147. The King James says very clearly, I prevented the dawning of the morning. The NIV, I rise before dawn. My friend, preventing means I go before. I get up early. It doesn't say anything about rise. They've added to the words of God. And they do not translate in the NIV the word prevent. Prevenio, coming before. I come before the dawning of the morning. That is, I'm awake. Nothing about rising. There's no word for rise in the Hebrew text. The wrong and false error in the NIV adding to the words of God and not translating the word preventing, which is an uncommon word. Look at the fine King James Bible, find out what I mean. It's coming before. Those that are asleep shall not prevent. Those that are awake, rather, does not prevent those that are asleep, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church. Prevenio, come before. That's the word meaning in 1611. And to find out what it means, you've got to define King James Bible. It's an accurate translation, and the NIV has failed to translate, has added to the words of the Hebrew text using the word I rise. Point 22 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Psalm 139, verse 13, where the King James says accurately, Thou hast possessed my reins. And the Palmer says the NIV should be, For you created my inmost being. Created? Thou hast possessed? How do you get creation out of possessed? And how do you get inmost being? There's interpretation. My reins is what the Hebrew says. The kidneys were the source and the seat of emotions in the Hebrew mind. And so reins, that's the renal glands. Now, that's the very same thing. And to interpret it inmost being, that's interpretation. And that's not translation. And that's not what we want in a translation. We don't want paraphrase and perversion. We want translation. The King James of God, Thou hast possessed my reins. Ownership, possession, not creation. Point 23 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about our King James Bible, which we love. Isaiah 10, verse 28. Carriages, the King James says, the NIV, supplies. A friend, if Palmer would understand what carriages means in 1611, again, the defined King James Bible, uncommon words, carriages were things that they took along and carried, and the things that were carried in these carriages, like suitcases, what goes into all such sorts of articles. Carriages is an excellent translation of the Hebrew word. And Palmer is implying that it's inaccurate and that it's false, wherein it is accurate. It's an uncommon word that's changed its meaning since 1611. That's why we put out the defined King James Bible, for people such as Palmer. Palmer people, where the uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. We've got a lot of Palmer people listening perhaps to this broadcast, perhaps reading it if it ever gets into print. And these Palmer people are picking at our Bible. Picking pockets of the Bible, the Word of God. And they hate the King James Bible, and they're picking at it, the NIV, which translates things because they don't understand it, and paraphrases things, and perverts things, and interprets things rather than translates. Right, point 24 out of 91, things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Jeremiah 48:12. Where the King James Bible says, I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander. Excellent translation of the Hebrew text. The NIV says, I will send men who pour from jars, and they will pour her out. My friend, the Hebrew word is wanderers. Where do they get this pouring business? Do they get it from a footnote? Do they get it from the Septuagint? Do they get it from the Samaritan Pentateuch? Or from the Latin Vulgate? Nothing wrong with wanderers, my friend. Wanderers will cause him to wander. Not people who pour from jars. Men. There's no word for men in here. It's simply wanderers. And who are the men who are pouring from jars? I thought that was a woman's work. She'll pour her out. Wandering and wandering is excellent and should be kept, not these other translations that are false. Point 25 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 24, where the King James Bible says discovered. And the NIV says revealing. Discovered is an excellent translation of the Hebrew word here. They can say revealing if they want to, but when you discover something, don't you reveal it? Isn't it revealed to you? Discovered is a good word, not even an uncommon word. And it's a good translation of that Hebrew term. Point number 26 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is found in Ezekiel 24 in verse 17, where the King James Bible has Tyre, T-I-R-E, and the NIV has turban. My friend, something that somebody tires themselves with, again, an uncommon word that the King James Bible, and defined King James Bible, defines accurately, something that somebody puts around the head. Turban is fine, it's an interpretation, but tire is an excellent translation of the Hebrew term that is here. Uncommon, yes, but excellent as far as translation. Point number 27 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Amos 5 and verse 7. Where the King James Bible says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave all righteousness, off righteousness in the earth. Now that's what is mentioned here in the King James Bible. Then he quotes Frank Gaberline. That's the one reason evangelicals have been slow in getting involved in a truly biblical social action is that they have never understood the King James Version in the many places where it has been judgment instead of justice. What is meant here in Amos 5 and verse 7 is not the judicial process of making a decision, but justice. The NIV makes it clear. You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. Why justice? Well, judgment means justice. When people render right judgment, people get justice done to them. Again, an uncommon word in the King James Bible, which we have defined in the defined King James Bible, and judgment and justice, it's all implied. It's accurate in translation. And to come along and say the NIV has got a right translation and the King James is wrong is absolutely false. And he says this misleading translation is found in many other places, and he gives some other places there, judgment versus justice. My friend, judgment has to do with justice. If it's proper judgment, justice will prevail. And so he's off in the wild blue yonder on that. Let me continue. He's talking now about a footnote. And he says, not a footnote, but the way the NIV renders this particular word and this phrase and this verse. What is point number, point number 28 out of 91, that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, is in Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 1. Nahum 1 and verse 1, it says, the burden of Nineveh. The NIV says, an oracle concerning Nineveh. My friend, oracle, the burden is all right. That means that the thing that God has revealed, the burden of Nineveh. And they want to say oracle. This is an uncommon word, perhaps, and it's found in our defined King James Bible. They can look it up and see. But it's not a mistranslation. It's an accurate translation. Burden of 1611 was accurate English translation. My point number 29 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Now we're into the New Testament. We're into Matthew 11, verse 25. Now into the Greek text. The King James Bible says, at that time, Jesus answered and said. Now he says Jesus was not answering anybody here and in many other similar instances. Hence the NIV says Jesus said. The King James rendering creates an erroneous impression. My friend, here again we have NIV in the hot seat. NIV in error. NIV corrupting the words of God, NIV changing the words of God, and, in fact, adding to the words of God. The NIV says, Jesus said, I should say subtracting, not adding, subtracting the words of God. They say simply Jesus said. My friend, the Greek text says, Jesus answered and said. And when the Greek text says answered and said two words, I do not wish the NIV to pervert it into simply Jesus said. Am I nitpicking? Yes, I'm nitpicking. Is Palmer nitpicking? In a big way is he nitpicking. In a wrong way. I am nitpicking in a right way. How dare the NIV translators leave off one of these words in the Greek text and do not faithfully translate it into the English language. Perversion. Subtracting from the words of God. The NIV should be trounced for this. Palmer should be slapped, figuratively speaking, slapped down for this. Not literally. I don't mean slapping. I mean he should be put down, knocked down, put down in his proper place of non-entity, non-scholarship, non-translation. And to paraphrase and pervert the very words of God by leaving off one of these words, answered and said, is what it is. Point number 30 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is found again in the New Testament, Matthew 17 and verse 25, where the King James Bible says, Jesus prevented him. And then Palmer says, an old way, English way of saying Jesus was the first to speak. That's what the NIV. My friend, prevent means go before. Jesus went before him. Again, an uncommon word that's an accurate translation of the Greek term. Accurate translation. And Palmer is implying that this is an error somehow, a mistake in our King James Bible. Prevenio, go before. And it, by the way, it doesn't say Jesus was the first to speak. Again, they've committed the terrible, horrendous error of adding to the words of God. Where do you find in the Greek text to speak? Not there. And where do you find the word first? Not there. They're paraphrasing, they're perverting, they're interpreting. And we don't want interpretation in a translation like the NIV does continuously, over and over, repeatedly. We want translation. We want to know what God said, not what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said, as one of our authors has so rightly said. And there's a great difference between these two. We want to know, what did God say? Let's go to point 31 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Matthew 20 and verse 31. Let's see what he thinks is wrong with this translation. King James says, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. What is wrong with that? Then he says the because makes no sense. The NIV, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. My friend, rebuked them because they should hold their peace. What's wrong with that? That's the reason. They should have held their peace. And as far as told them to hold their peace, there's no word for tell in here. Told them to be quiet. He didn't tell them. He simply said he rebuked them. The multitude rebuked them because they should hold. That gives the reason why they were rebuked, because they should have held their peace. They hold their peace. And rebuked them and told them. There's no told in here. Again, Palmer is adding to the words of God, and the NIV that he favors is a paraphrase and a perversion at this point. Let's go on to point number 32 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Matthew 23, verse 24, where the King James Bible accurately says, strain at a gnat. Now he says what is meant is this, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Strain out a gnat. My friend, again, Palmer and the NIV and others don't know what it means, the word at. And they think that that's a terrible error. Strain out, they want to say, instead of strain at. At is a simple word in here, means when they see something such as a gnat, they strain it. They strain at the sight of a gnat. They strain at the instance of a gnat. They strain when they see a gnat. That's what the word at means. He fell at the noise of battle. That means when the noise was heard, he fell. She screamed at the sight of the sun, or at the sight of the death, at the sight of, at means when she saw that thing. So they strain at a gnat, at the sight of a gnat. There's no problem with that. Again, an improper criticism of our King James Bible's accuracy. Point number 33 out of the 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible, Matthew 26, verse 27. And where the Lord Jesus in the King James Bible says, drink ye all of it. End of quote. Then Palmer says, this could be taken to mean that not a drop should be left. But that would be incorrect. The NIV, drink from it, all of you. Drink from it, all of you. Well, that's exactly what it means. Drink ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. Clear. All you disciples that are drinking. Judas had left. The Passover was there. The 11 were left with Lord Jesus, 12 altogether. Drink ye all of it. All of you are to drink. No problem with that. Why is he picking on this simple thing that doesn't make nonsense? It makes sense. Drink ye all of it. And all of you should drink. It's clear. Now, let's go to number 34. Point number 34 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Mark 2, verse 3. Where the King James accurately translates, sick of the palsy. Sick, a man sick of the palsy. They say, paralytic. Well, friend, where's the word sick? They don't have it. They just say paralytic. Palsy is a disease. And the King James Bible translators accurately rendered that word palsy, and it meant in 1611 that disease which was there. And that's why we have our defined King James Bible, to clarify any uncommon words you might have. But to leave off the word sick and just say paralytic for sick of the palsy, that whole phrase, is an error. It's wrong for the NIV. That's right for the King James. Point number 35 out of 91. Things that Palmer has against the King James Bible, found in Mark 4, verse 38. Where the King James Bible has master. What's wrong with master? That, in the King James language, is a good word for that. Didaskalos is what it is, but master. And 46 times the King James uses the term master when today's reader should use the word and term teacher. All right, it was a teacher. If they look on the uncommon words in the King James Bible, define King James Bible, they would find that master meant the didaskalos, or teacher. But it's not an improper translation. Master, if you have a master's degree, you're supposed to know enough so that you can teach somebody else your subject. A master's degree. Teacher. It says in the book of James, be not many masters, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. Many teachers, masters. That's a good word for teachers. There's the headmaster. What is a headmaster in a school? It's the head teacher. We still have that word today. Why didn't Palmer wise up and see what master might mean, even today? But certainly, in 1611, it's an excellent translation of this term, didaskalos, in the Greek text. Point number 36 out of 91, things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, is found in Mark 6 and verse 20, where the King James Bible says, Herod observed John. It says it should be, he protected, to be protected. Well, observed, to look out for, that's the word for protect. It's all part of that word, observed. Again, an old English word, uncommon today, but clear and an excellent translation in the King James Bible, 1611. And Palmer should have a defined King James Bible. Of course, you can't have it now. He's dead, but should have had. And you people who are Palmer people should get yourselves a defined King James Bible. Call us. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You'll be through with this drivel by Palmer, and all this silliness, and picking up things that he ought not to be picked up, just because he doesn't understand the King's English of 1611. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Get yourself a copy of the defined King James Bible. Go to our website, BibleForToday.org. Click on the defined King James Bible section and see how about it. Well, let's go on. Let's go on. Point number 37 out of 91. That Palmer has against the King James Bible and hates it, it's found in Mark 6, verse 25, where the King James Bible says, by and by. What's wrong with that? In 1611, that's an accurate translation. The Greek really means the opposite, right now, NIV. Well, by and by means now. That's what the meaning was in the King James 1611, and all that Palmer needs is a defined King James Bible, which he didn't have because it wasn't printed. He's dead now, so he can't get one. But you can get one if you're a Palmer person. If you're following this Palmer nonsense attack against our King James Bible. Well, let's go to point 38 out of 91 that Palmer has about the King James Bible, and he hates about it. Luke 1, verse 36. Luke 1, 36. Luke does not say that Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary, as a King James, but a relative. Well, again, uncommon word in 1611, cousin means a near relative. No problem with it. Palmer just needs to look up in a dictionary in 1611 what the word cousin meant. It's an accurate translation. It's not a faulty translation at all. Point number 39 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is Luke 1, verse 40. He says, Mary did not salute Elizabeth, but greeted her. My friend, salute is an uncommon word. It means to greet. It doesn't mean to give a military salute with the right hand. It means to greet. It means to say hello to someone. Again, this is not an inaccurate translation. It's an accurate translation. It's Palmer that's inaccurately pointing out these things that I ought not to point out. All he should say is there's some meanings that have changed. And that's why we have our defined King James Bible. Salute and greet are the same thing. It's not an error. It should not be pointed out here in this particular context of this chapter, as far as I'm concerned. Let's go on then to the next one, point 38. I guess we have already taken that point number 40. Point number 40. Luke 1 and verse 63. 40 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James. Luke 1, 63. He says, Zechariah did not ask for a writing table, like the King James, but for a writing tablet. My friend, what's wrong with a writing table? Table is a tablet in the King James day. This is an accurate translation, and Palmer doesn't know what the meaning is. You ought to get the defined King James Bible and find out and check into it. There's no problem with that at all. Just a nitpicking, small, tiny, insignificant thing just to be contrary, I guess, is what the answer is. Point number 41 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is Luke 23, verse 15. And the King James, Pilate says of Jesus, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Nothing worthy of death is done unto him. What the Greek says is the exact opposite. The NIV says, as you can see, he hath done nothing amiss to observe, He's done nothing to observe death. All right, so what's the difference? Nothing worthy of death is done unto him, or done in him. It's the same thing. I don't see a difference, or why you have to say nothing worthy of death. He's got nothing, he's done nothing to deserve death. Point number 42, again out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. It's found in Acts 21 and verse 15. Acts 21, 15. It says, we took up our carriages. And he says, we got ready. Oh, my friend, they don't translate carriages. Now, carriages is an uncommon word. He used it once before, you remember. It simply means baggage or luggage in which other things were placed. Carriages are things that are carried. It's a constant 1611 uncommon word that today simply means things that are carried. And we took up our carriages, the things that we were carrying. And to say that we got ready, there's no word for ready in there. There's no word for God in there. It says we took up our carriages. How can they say that they want to add this word, get ready? Why don't they translate took up? Why don't they translate carriages? It's gone. They're subtracted from the words of God, and they're under God's curse for doing it, as they're under his curse for adding to the scriptures. Point number 43, out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, it's found in Acts 27 and verse 21. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. What's wrong with that? Nautical terms, NIV says, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. It says, they're not loosed from Crete. Now, whence this one is the word loosed means sail. Now, granted, that's what they were, but the loosing is the exact order of service. I mean, it's the order of march or order of the details of what's done. They first, before they can sail, have to cast off the hawsers. The lines, the ropes, call them what you will, then they can sail. And so the very first thing that is said here, that they had to loose from Crete, or loose from wherever they were. So the loosing is a very important thing. And loosing is necessary before they could sail. Exactly what should be done. I should have hardly been loose, not loose from Crete. All right, so that's a silly thing. And then he says, then which you have spared yourselves from this damage and loss, King James, then you would gain this, not have gained this loss. So that's all right there, very well and good. An accurate translation for King's English language, but he doesn't like it at all. Well, my friend, let's pause right here. Let's stop right here until next time. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Titus. Bible for today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to continue this next week. I hope you'll stay tuned. Now, Palmer is dead and buried, but Palmer's chapter 14 of the making of the NIV is still going places and doing things and subverting people that love our King James Bible. They see these 91 things smashed in their face. They see their Bible corrupted. They see their Bible in error. They see the Bible misled and wrong and misleading. It's not true. The NIV is the misleading one. The King James Bible is accurate English translation, the only one that we have before us. Proper Greek and proper Hebrew, proper English. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 915. 915 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800. Other things, please call us on a question answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. You can hear streaming videos of from our church preaching verse by verse 24/7. Tune in to bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get a book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its ninth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather. Not another Bible in the world like it. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 51,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, I'm continuing this answer to Chapter 14 of the Making of the NIV. Chapter 14, the KJV and the NIV, by Edwin H. Palmer. Mr. Palmer has got 91 things that he hates about the King James Bible. He's trying to drag it into the dust, into the dirt, and I'm just simply answering those points. I'm on point number 44 out of 91. We're on page 145 of this book, The Making of the NIV. The 44th out of 91, Palmer hates, is Acts 21:13, where the King James accurately translates, and from thence we fetch the compass, end of quote. Clearer translation, he says, in the NIV, from there we set sail. My friend, fetch the compass is not set sail. We fetched a compass, that is, we surrounded that particular body of water, whatever, and that's what compass means, going around in a circle. And set sail is not there in the Greek text and ought not to be included in this, the 44th thing that he hates about our King James Bible. What, point 45 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James, Romans 1:17. King James accurately says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. End of quote. What's wrong with that? And Palmer says, how many Christians have failed to understand the great comfort of this verse because of the KJV's reading. My friend, I get the reading, don't you? Therein, that is 1:17, he's just said 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation. For therein, that is in that gospel, it's very clear, is the righteousness of God revealed. And Paul was not talking about God's righteousness, that is his holy righteous character, says Palmer, but a righteousness that is provided by him through the life and death of Jesus Christ. The crucial passage should be translated, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. My friend, it doesn't say in the gospel in Romans 1:17. It says therein, going back to 1:16, which does refer to the gospel. You don't put in the gospel in Romans 1:17 if you're translating. But because the NIV doesn't translate, because the NIV paraphrases, it's a perversion. It's not a version, and it's not something Christians ought to put their hands on and say, these are the words of God in English. They're not. The words of men are added up one side and down the other, adding, subtracting, and changing God's words a tremendous number of times. From Genesis to Revelation, 6,653, and I stopped counting, 6,653 of the paraphrases, perversions, dynamic equivalencies, adding to God's Hebrew or Greek words, subtracting from God's Hebrew or Greek words, or changing God's Hebrew or Greek words. Here, you have an example in Romans 1:17 of the NIV, adding to the words of God. For in the gospel. No, my friend. It's simply therein, referring back to verse 16. Gospel is not there. They've added it, and they're under the condemnation of Almighty God. Thou shalt not add thereto or take away from, and they're condemned by the word of God itself for adding horrendous things. And how Palmer can say this is the way it ought to be is beyond me. Justification of addition and adding to words that are not in the Greek and not a translation, but an interpretation, a paraphrase, and a perversion. Well, here's number 46 out of 91 passages that Palmer hates in the King James Bible, Romans 1:28. Let's see what he talks about there. The King James Bible accurately translates, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. What's wrong with that? Palmer says, there are two problems here. Number one, Paul was not speaking of the reprobate, but of the depraved. And number two, Paul was not speaking of covetousness, or convenience at all. Instead, the verse would be well translated, and then he gives the NIV, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do that which they ought not to have been done. Not convenient. In other words, it's not what should be done. That's obviously what the word convenient means, 1611. And there's no problem with a reprobate mind, a mind that's twisted, a mind that's warped. There's nothing wrong with the word reprobate for the mind here. Why does he say he has to be depraved? Look at the Greek word and see what it means. And reprobate is every bit as good as depraved. If he doesn't know what reprobate means, let him look it up in the Defiant King James Bible. If he were still living, he could do that and find out the details, or in a good Greek lexicon as well. Point 47 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Romans 3:22, where the King James accurately says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. End of quote. What's wrong with that? It says this is misleading on two counts. Number one, it is the righteousness that is from God and his righteousness. Number two, it is faith in Christ, not faith of Christ. It should read, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, the righteousness of God, of means from. Where did Palmer go to school? Of God, the righteousness of God means God's righteousness from God. Yes, it's God's righteousness and it is from God. Both of the cases are true. It's the righteousness of God, it's God's righteousness, and it's also righteousness from God. Both are correct. But it's not wrong to say the righteousness of God. It's a genitive. Or an ablative, could be from God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, faith of Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with the translation of here. There are two kinds of genitives, and I don't know whether Palmer knows it or not. The King James translators did. There's an objective genitive, and there's a subjective genitive. In the one case, it's faith of Jesus Christ, that is Christ's faith. In the other case, it's faith of Jesus Christ, meaning faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, what's happened here, and that's what it means here. And that's the type of genitive it is. It's the objective genitive, faith in Christ, of Jesus Christ. And so the of there is good English. It's good Greek. And there's nothing wrong with it. And so I don't know what he's all upset about. Let's go on to point number 48 out of 91 things he has against the King James Bible and he hates about it, Mr. Palmer. Romans 5 and verse 5. The King James Bible accurately translates this verse, the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Excellent translation. He says then in 16:11, which could be used of a person, but it is not normally so used today. In current English, we say, the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Whom he has given us. Well, which is given unto us, which is given unto us is different from whom he has given us. The us is the direct object instead of unto us, the direct object, the preposition phrase, prepositional phrase. That is given, which that he has given. They've changed the is given, which is a passive, to an active, to which he has given. Now, talk about the errors of the NIV. There's nothing wrong with which. In 1611, which could be used, as he says, for who. And this is not an error. All these 91 points, he seems to tell the reader, these are errors. These are horrendous errors. Something's wrong with our King James Bible. In 1611, which is all right for a person, and it's all right here in the King James Bible if you understand it and don't quibble about it. But a greater error in the NIV from this very verse, Romans 5, verse 5, is the change in the verb. Is given, which means has been given unto us. That's the passive voice that's been given to us by God. They change it to an active voice, but he has given us. Instead of is given or has been given, he has given. And then unto us is gone and simply us. Well, errors in the NIV, they don't know how to translate accurately. They don't want to translate accurately. They want to make it like they want to make it. They can add, subtract, and change at will, and this they've done in the verb given. Well, 49 out of 91 that Palmer has against the King James Bible because he hates it, Romans 14, 23. What does the King James Bible accurately say in this particular instance in Romans 14, 23? And he that doubteth is damned. What's wrong with that? And Palmer says that would ordinarily be understood to mean that the doubter goes to hell forever. Not so the Greek. It should be, but the man who has doubts is condemned. A friend, damned means condemned. Condemnation is the damnation. This is exactly what it means. It meant that in 1611. It means that today. It does not only mean damned to hell. Damned means condemned and so on. There's no problem with this. These people that don't understand what the language means, like Mr. Palmer, are upset and almost point to the King James Bible as being inaccurate and wrong. My friend, there's nothing wrong with this. And I don't know why I point it out. Point number 50 out of 91 that Mr. Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, where the King James accurately says, "For I know nothing by myself." What's wrong with that? And the NIV says, "My conscience is clear." Absolute perversion. You call that translation? This is perversion to the nth degree. The Greek text is clear as far as what is written. I know nothing by myself. Literal translation from the King James Bible, from the Greek to the King James English. Well, he says, my conscience. There's no conscience in here. There's no conscience. It doesn't occur. They've made it out of whole cloth. They're adding to the words of God. They're condemned by God in this scripture. Thou shalt not add to my words, neither shalt thou take away from them. The revelation, condemnation of adding to the scriptures is theirs. It's a horrendous penalty that God imposes upon these critics that are unbelieving. At least they don't believe in the words of God translating. They may be believers in their own way, but they don't believe in accurate translation. And God condemns them. And it's a terrible condemnation. They have taken away, I know nothing, which is literally what it says, and make it into conscience. They take a verb, I know, and put it into a noun, conscience. And then they take away the I, which is a pronoun for the subject of the sentence, I know, the subject of the verb, and change it into possessive, my. How can that be translation, my friend? Are you confused by this double-dealing, dishonest paraphrase perversion of the NIV, I wouldn't be caught dead with the thing. It's a perversion of the very words of the living God. And then when it says, "Is my conscience is clear," where is clear in there? That's made out of whole cloth. That's interpretation. It's not translation. Where is the word "by myself"? Myself is gone. It's not even there in the NIV. Horrendous, horrendous paraphrase in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Well, let's go to point number 51 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 3 and 5. Palmer says one problem of the KJV is that its sentences ramble on and on and are too complicated to figure out. End of quote. My friend, when the sentences of the King James Bible ramble on and on, it's because the Greek text from which the sentences are taken ramble on and on, as Palmer condemns the Greek text for saying. The King James Bible just simply translates what Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 5, 3-5. He doesn't chop it up. The King James Bible doesn't chop up these sentences like the NIV. Then he says the important passage, 1 Corinthians 5, 3 and 5, is a case in point. Here's the King James Bible, accurate translation, rendering of the passages, the verses. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. End of quote. That's the King James. What's wrong with it? Then he says, what does in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ go with? Well, it goes with the context. It's very clear. When they're gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you're gathered together. It goes with when you're gathered together. There's no problem there. What's the matter with Palmer? Can't he understand plain English? Doesn't he know how to interpret the sentences of English or Greek? The Corinthians, who is it? It's not enough to get the general thrust of these verses. We should know precisely what God has said. One way is to shorten the sentence as the NIV does. My friend, that's the problem with the NIV. They tamper with the very words of the living God. Have they no fear of God in their minds, in their hearts? Are they not God-fearing? Is there no fear of God in them? How can they tamper with the sentences that Paul has given us in the Greek language? Here's what they say. Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. My friend, that's not what the Greek says. It's really as absent in body. Not physically present. Absent in body. Where's the body? Where's the body here? They haven't translated. They're paraphrasing. They're interpreting. Horrendous, the NIV is. Then they go on and says, I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. As though I were present concerning him and have done this deed. Have judged already. They add this repeatedly even in that particular phrase. Then they put a period there. Then they say, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan so that this sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved in the day of the Lord. Well, they put these different periods and different sentences, chopped it up, shortened it up, and have not followed the Greek text in so doing. Point number 52 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Where the King James accurately translates from the Greek text, quote, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, end of quote. Palmer says the KJV could be understood as recommending coveting and perhaps stealing. My friend, that's far-fetched completely. Let us not seek his own, but everyone another's wealth. Seeking another's benefit, another's wealth that he has, not being covetous, the very opposite of what he says. He says a better translation would be, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Now they've added the word good. Instead of his own, they've added his own good. but every man another's wealth. Instead of wealth, they put in good. Now, that's an addition to the scripture that's not there. And again, they're interpreting, which doesn't need to be interpreted. Let's go to point 53 out of 91 points that Palmer hates about the King James Bible and almost implies that there's errors in it. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The KJV says, Palmer, charity does not mean philanthropy or almsgiving, but love, as the NIV. End of quote. My friend, charity means love, it means philanthropy, it means all these things. And so does agape, which is the word for love that the King James Bible uses in many other places and the NIV uses here. Nothing wrong with charity. It's a good word. It's got a grasp of what is involved with what people, Christian people, should do to others. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good word. And we ought to use it more often. Nothing wrong here. It's now no error to say charity. They seem to imply it's an error. Point number 54 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. 1 Corinthians 16:22. For the King James accurately says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. End of quote. Palmer says, who or what is anathema, maranatha? Someone forgot to put a period there, anathema, period. And to this day, KJV Bibles have this error. Notice he calls it an error. Listen to the accuracy and clarity of the NIV. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse on him. Come, O Lord. End of quote. After Lord, there's a note. In Aramaic, the expression, come, O Lord, is Maranatha. Maranatha. My friend, so they put in here a translation of the words rather than a transliteration. There's nothing wrong with anathema, Maranatha. That's the transliteration of these words. And he says it's an error. It's not an error. Anathema certainly means a curse. Maranatha means that the Lord is coming. That's true, but there's nothing wrong with putting it here and transliterating rather than translating as the NIV has done. If they want to translate it, that's one of their things they can do, but they should not say it's an error to transliterate. Absolutely false. Let me continue. Point number 55 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, where the King James accurately translates, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. In the NIV, he says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. My friend, corrupt is a good word for this. There's nothing wrong with the word corrupt. And they say peddle for profit. That's fine. Corruption is a good translation, and they're trying to imply that there's some sort of an error in the King James Bible for corruption of the Word of God. Peddling for profit is corrupting, is it not? So why do they have all the designs on the thing and the only correct rendering of the passage? Corrupt is one of the valid translations of the Greek word underlying that Greek text in 2 Corinthians 2:17. Point number 56 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible that he hates is 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, where the King James accurately says dishonesty. The NIV says shameful ways. What's wrong with dishonesty? Shameful ways, dishonesty? And so he's implying that there's an error here where the error does not exist. Point 57 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, where the King James Bible accurately says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Palmer says it was Jesus who knew no sin, not us. It should be God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. My friend, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Is reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about being us at all. God hath made him who had no sin to be sin for us. That's what they say, but that's exactly what the other one means. Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, quibbling about a false interpretation. Don't they understand it? Just because Palmer can't understand what it means, he's got to make an error, seemingly an error, against the King James Bible. Point number 58 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where the King James accurately translates, "Blessed be the God and Father." Palmer says the word "bless" is used in the KJV to mean praise, thanks, or to invoke God's favor or happy. This is very confusing to today's English. In today's English, in Ephesians, for example, what is meant by "blessed be the God and Father"? To 1 Corinthians 10:16, what is meant by "blessing" and so on? And so he's quibbling about the word "blessing." Then he says the NIV attempted to be very careful so that there would not be confusion. There would not be confusion in this term that is traditionally and indiscriminately used to bless. For the NIV, "bless" means someone of a higher position, such as God or a king favors someone lower, and so on. And then he goes into a big thing about "bless." My friend, the word translated "bless" from the Greek term is "bless." And that's what the King James Bible rendered it as, "bless." And it's not confusing, and it's not an error. We continue to point number 59 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, from Ephesians 4 and verse 4. But the King James accurately translates, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling." What's wrong with that? Clear, accurate translation. Palmer says, here is an important verse. Yet the statement, "ye are called, and one hope of your calling," is confusing. What's confusing about it? Palmer says, here is what it means from the NIV. "Just as you were called to one hope when you were called." My friend, calling of your calling is a participle, and they've changed it into a finite verb, "when you were called." That's switching the verb, "your calling." It means when you were called. Nothing wrong with it. The hope of your calling. "When you were called" is a switch of the verb, which is a paraphrase, a perversion, an interpretation, and certainly an error if it's a call to translation. The NIV is not a translation. It's a paraphrase and a perversion. Point number 60 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Philippians 3 and verse 20. King James says conversation. The NIV says citizenship. Well, conversation in the King James 1611 means that same thing, the citizenship, but there's nothing wrong with it. You get a defined King James Bible, and you can understand what this word citizenship, or conversation rather, means. Our conversation is in heaven. And that which we conduct in heaven is our conversation. And certainly, that's not an error, but he seems to indicate that's an error. It's an uncommon word used in the King James that is defined accurately in the footnotes of the defined King James Bible. If you folks that are listening to me would like a Bible that unlocks some of the uncommon words in our King James, don't switch to the NIV and its horrendous errors. Stick with the King James accuracy and get the defined King James Bible to give you what the meanings of these uncommon words are. Simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and order the defined King James Bible. We'll tell you how to get it. And then you'll understand some of these things without having big question marks. Point number 61 out of 91 items that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Philippians 4:14, where the King James accurately says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." And to quote the NIV, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." What's wrong with that? Communicate means to share with my affliction, share in my troubles. And Palmer says, it's obvious that the last part of the KJV sentence does not communicate. "Ye did communicate with my affliction." That means you had fellowship with it. But it is also instructive to look at the first part of how an unnatural word order causes the reader to stumble. It is not natural to say, "ye have well done." What's wrong with that? "Ye have well done." Do you have to say, "ye have done well"? He says, nobody could talk like that today. Not only is the "ye" unnatural, but also the "have well done." My friend, this sort of unnaturalness, he says, can be multiplied many times. It causes untold difficulties in the understanding and memorization of God's Word. My friend, the "ye," he's against the "ye." "He" is the plural of "you." "You" plural. Nothing wrong with that at all. And that's important, a distinction indeed. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, my friend, we're going to continue this next broadcast. We're right on the trail, right on the heels of Edward Palmer and his hatred of the King James Bible, wrongfully criticizing it, implying that it contains these errors of translation, when they're simply uncommon words, many of them, and he's quibbling about the ye instead of you. But ye is plural, and you can be singular or plural, and ye is accurate. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Thee is singular you, for Nicodemus, and ye all you Pharisees. Time's up for now, so we'll see you next time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 916. 916 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org, and you can hear streaming messages 24/7 from that site, Bible for Today Preaching, verse by verse from the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its ninth printing, 350 pages rather, hardback edition. Might have asked your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, if you ordered your Defined King James Bible published by the Bible for Today, uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible in the world like it. Deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 51,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this analysis of Chapter 14 of The Making of the NIV, called The KJV and the NIV by Edwin H. Palmer. And Palmer has 91 things he hates about the King James Bible, implying almost that these are errors when they're not. And I'm on point number 62 now out of a total of 91. Point 62 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, where the King James Bible accurately says, "Your election of God." What's wrong with that? Then he says, "In the days of the King James Version," says Palmer, "this was a way of saying your election by God. As it is today, the KJV suggests the opposite. What the Greek really says, the NIV says, he has chosen you." Oh, my. Again, the NIV, on the face of it, it murders translation of the Greek text. Your election. Now, that word election is a noun. Clear as anything. Your election of God. In other words, your election by God. No question about it. Simple as pie, the meaning of it. They switch and change a noun, election, to a verb. He has chosen you. It changed the your election, which is possessive, modifying election, the noun, to you as the object of the verb, has chosen you, changing you, and he even takes away the word God. It simply says, he has chosen instead of the election of God. Where's God in this phrase? Horrendous, horrendous paraphrase and perversion of the words of the living God. How can the NIV hold up its head and call itself a translation? It's a transgression of the very principles of translation. Point number 63 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible, which he hates, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. For the King James accurately translates, "joy of the Holy Spirit." End of quote. Palmer says, Paul was not talking about the joy of the Holy Spirit, but the joy of the Thessalonians. what the KJV tried to convey was the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And that's the NIV. One of the great senses of obscurity, one of the great causes of obscurity in the KJV is love for the preposition of, as it was seen in Romans 1:17 and so on. It goes on and on about that. My friend, there's nothing wrong. Joy of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. As I said before, the word of is a translation of a genitive in the Greek language. And there are two types of genitives, objective genitive and subjective genitive. And the word of can be either one or the other. The joy of the Holy Spirit. That means joy in the Holy Spirit. That's no problem. It's not the Holy Spirit's joy, but joy of the Holy Spirit, possessed and given by the Holy Spirit, is clear if Palmer understands the difference between the objective and subjective genitive. It's very clear here. Now, what the NIV does is saying the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Where do you find the word given in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 in the Greek text? It's simply joy of the Holy Spirit. They put joy given by, adding to the words of God in paraphrase, perversion, format, as they are wont to do, to use an old King James expression, want to do, and willing to do, repeatedly adding to the words of God, changing what God has given to us in the text itself. Well, let's go on. The next one is the number 64. Point number 64 out of a total of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, where the King James Bible says uncleanness. And the NIV says impure motives. My friend, uncleanness does the job. What's wrong with it? That's no error. That's one of the uses of that word in the Greek text. Point number 65 out of 91 things that he's against the King James 4. Palmer is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. King James says prevent. The NIV says precede. That's what prevent means in 1611. Pre-venio. Pre is before. Venio is to come. Come before. To precede. And he's implying that this is an error. My friend, this is simply an uncommon word used in the King James Bible that's explained in our defined King James Bible. You ought to get a copy. Footnotes give you all these details. So he's just pointing out the changes of wording. But that's not an error. It's an accurate translation in the 1611, perfect translation. Point 66 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Feeble-minded, the King James has. And he says the Greek, however, has nothing to do with being mentally defective. Rather, it means being timid. And that's the NIV. My friend, feeble-minded. The one that doesn't want to be strong in mind, maybe he is timid. But feeble-minded, again, is an illustration, an Old Testament, rather an Old English 1611 expression that is accurate in its translation of that accurate Greek word, and there's nothing wrong with it. And so he's implying there's an error here. Page 67, rather number 67 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Where the King James accurately says, abstain from all appearance of evil. End of quote. Palmer says, this involves a misunderstanding of the Greek idiom. Rather, that is the NIV, avoid every kind of evil. My friend, the Greek idiom, from all appearance of evil, what's wrong with every kind? Every appearance, all kinds, everything that appears evil. There's nothing wrong with this, and it's a good Greek expression, translation of the Greek text completely. And this is a quibbling, and it's not a misunderstanding of the Greek idiom. He's trying to say now something's wrong here, and it's not wrong, indeed. Let's go to point 68 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, where the King James accurately says, he who now letteth. Now, he says today, let means allow or permit. But in 1611, one of the meanings was to hinder, to obstruct. Well, it's still preserved in the phrase without let or hindrance that we will use in the King James sense, holding back, when it comes to speak of let. And so the NIV conveys the sense, the one who now holds it back. My friend, that's exactly what letteth means in the King James Bible, 1611. That's not an error. He's just pointing out uncommon words. So what? Yes, there are some uncommon words, but it's an accurate translation of the Greek text in 1611. That's why we have the defined King James Bible, to understand it and not get confused by the NIV's false rendering of passage after passage with its additions, subtractions, and changes from the Hebrew and the Greek words. All right, go on then to the next point, number 69, out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. The KJV's nephews is wrong, as we now know. The Greek word refers to grandchildren. My friend, nephews are people that are related and people that have relations to the other person. And to say grandchildren, how does he know that's what the rendering of the Greek is, as we now know? Nephews is all right as far as I'm concerned. Grandchildren is another guess that he may not know or understand, and that's what he thinks is correct. Maybe that's what they have in the NIV. Point number 70 out of 91, things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5. Or the King James accurately renders, supposing that gain is godliness. What's wrong with that? Then Palmer says this is entirely misleading. It should be, who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Did you hear that? How they can twist and change and add to the words of God, supposing that gain is godliness. What's wrong with that? And then supposing who think that godliness, notice, is a means to financial gain. Means to is not there, financial is not there, and they go ahead and interpret instead of translate what is there before them. Horrendous paraphrase and perversion of the NIV here. Point number 71 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15. For the King James accurately gives this rendering, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, unquote. What's wrong with that? Palmer says, apart from the now faulty grammar, all they be turned away, it should be noticed that Asia does not mean, again, Japan, China, Russia, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. In Paul's day, what was meant was a small part of the presence of Asia. For instance, the province of Asia, small province of Asia, like the NIV says. The unmodified word Asia is misleading. My friend, that's what the Greek says, Asia. And to put in province of Asia is adding to the Word of God. It's commentary and not translation. Yes, Asia was Asia Minor. Yes, Asia was like Turkey today. Yes, but Asia is what the Greek said, and that's what the King James Bible translated and transliterated into the King James Version of the Scriptures. Accurately done. It didn't add or didn't take away. Point 72 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 6. Or the King James accurately says, silly women. And the NIV says, weak-willed women. Well, that's a quibble. Silly women is just as good as anything. Weak-willed is interpretation, but the other is accurate as well. Silly women. Point 73 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 2 Timothy 3:13. Seducers is the King James, accurate rendering. NIV, imposters. My friends, seducers are imposters. There's nothing wrong with it. They're just fanciful changes implying that there's some error in the King James Bible. Point 74 out of 91 things Palmer hates about the King James. Titus 1:6. The KJV's having faithful children is wrong. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with it. He says faithful means having children who are loyal, reliable, and worthy of trust. But what the Greek means is a man whose children believe. Did you see the NIV rendering? A man whose children believe. It's simply having faithful children. It's not, it's changing. Again, it's changing faithful, which is an adjective, into a verb whose children believe. And this is horrendous. They changed the adjective into a verb. That's what faithful means. Those that have faith, those that are saved. And they don't have to paraphrase it and change it into a verb at all. It's accurate as it stands. Point 75 out of 91 things he's against the King James for, Titus 2 and verse 13. He says KJV wrongly distinguishes between God and Jesus. Here's what the King James says, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whereas it should have called Jesus God, like our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with that? The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with that? The NIV says, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. The great God and our Savior, and means even, Chi means as well. It's an identification of the great God, who is the Savior. There's no incorrectness about this at all. It's accurate translation from the Greek language, and it's clear that the Lord Jesus is the great God. That word and, in addition, means even. That's an identification word as well. Point 76 out of 91 things Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Hebrews 7 and verse 18, where the King James accurately says, For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. What's wrong with that? Accurate translation. He says, how can the Christian understand what the Holy Spirit said here? And who would want to memorize that? Listen to the accurate and clear rendering, what the NIV has, quote, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before. That's what the Greek says, and they have paraphrased it, pared it down to the former regulation is set aside. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before. That's what the Greek says, and that's what should be translated, and they've pared it down, and it's changed in the NIV. A pity, indeed, is that rendering, changing it and not accurately translating what's there in the Greek language. Point 77 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James, Hebrews 8 and verse 2. The King James accurately says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched. Nothing wrong with that. Palmer says, the KJV misleads the reader to think that there is a sanctuary plus a true tabernacle. This is wrong. Tabernacle is in opposition to sanctuary. Thus, the NIV, who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord. My friend, when you say the minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, the word and can mean, this word chi can mean even, that is the same thing as. And he doesn't understand it, and because he doesn't understand it, he says you've got to change it and leave off the word and switch it to the NIV. But the King James is accurate as it stands. Point 78 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James, Hebrews 8 and verse 5. King James accurately says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Nothing wrong with that. Palmer says, what does Paul mean? More misunderstanding in this. Here's what the NIV says. They served at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Now notice, who served into the example and shadow of heavenly things. And here they add the word sanctuary. They served at a sanctuary. It doesn't say that. It says who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. There's no sanctuary in the Greek text. They've added it, contrary to the instructions of God in translation. Additions of the Scriptures is sin, and they have sinned here as they have many other places. Point 79 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, Hebrews 8 and verse 12, where the King James accurately says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Accurate translation. Palmer says, this seems to say that God is going to be good to unrighteousness. But the meaning is, then he has the NIV, for I will forgive their wickedness. My friend, it's not forgiveness. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. It's not I will forgive. I will be merciful. Merciful and forgive are two different words, and they ought not to be switched and changed, as the NIV has done, to its fault in this verse. Point number 80 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible. Hebrews 8:13. The King James accurately says, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. End of quote. What's wrong with that? Palmer says, what is the writer saying? Where does the quotation end? And so on. And then he goes into the to the what the NIV says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Same thing that the King James Bible has, but more accurate, a new covenant. Talking of this covenant new, by calling this covenant new. And it's a new covenant. He hath made the first old. And it's exactly accurate in the King James Bible and translates what is there in the Greek text, not changed as it does in the NIV. Go to point number 81 out of 91 that Palmer has against the King James Bible, Hebrews 9 and verse 1, where the King James accurately says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. What's wrong with that? Then he says, does divine service mean God's work? No, and so on. And here's what the King James, the NIV rather says, a worldly sanctuary. A worldly sanctuary. My friend, it says here, there is verily the first covenant, also the ordinance of the divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. And the NIV says a worldly sanctuary is, they try to mix up the thing. They don't give a full quotation here. I don't know exactly the whole rendering of the NIV, but all I can say is the King James rendering is accurate as it is given in Hebrews 9 and verse 1. You don't need the NIV to mix it up. Point 82 out of 91 that the NIV, that Palmer has against the King James Bible. Hebrews 9 verses 2 to 6. Palmer says there's a complete confusion in the KJV about what is the tabernacle. The sanctuary, and the holiest. Well, my friend, if he understands English, Hebrews 9:2 is rendered accurately in the King James Bible. You don't need the NIV to get that clue as to what the real meaning is. Point 83 out of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James, Hebrews 9:10, which the King James accurately says, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. What's wrong with that? It's clear. He says, the NIV, they are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. End of quote. Well, they've added a bunch of things in there which are wrong to add, and they don't need to add that. The King James Bible is very accurate, and Palmer, as usual, is making a mountain out of a molehill, as they say. Point number 84 out of 91 that he hates, Palmer hates about the King James, is found in James 5 and verse 11. Patience of Job. What's wrong with that? And then Palmer says, but Job was not patient. He was impatient, yet he preserved. Hence, a better rendering is Job's perseverance. My friend, he was patient. He was in pain. He lost his flocks, he lost his herds, he lost his possessions, he lost his children, he lost his health, and he was patient. The wife said, curse God and die. And he said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. And perseverance, maybe one way, but patience is a good word. No problem with it. Point number 85 of 91 that Palmer hates about the King James Bible, 1 Peter 2:9, a peculiar people. What's wrong with that? Today that means odd people. It should be a people belonging to God. Right, that's one of the uncommon words of the King James, which can be understood if you get a copy of the defined King James Bible. This is an uncommon word, but it's not an error. It's an accurate translation in 1611 of the Greek term, peculiar. Point 86 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James, 1 Peter 2:12. He says the KJV translates the Greek as having your conversation honest, using conversation in the now rare Latin sense of behavior. But the Greek says nothing at all about conversation or honesty. And so he has the NIV, which talks about, let me see, what is it here? The NIV, he says, but the meaning is now archaic. What it does say is live such good lives. Live such good lives. Having your conversation honest. Live such good lives. Well, first of all, it's not plural lives. It's a conversation that you're living your manner of life, and they change it to the plural lives, adding and subtracting as they do many times. Point 88 out of 91, things that Palmer has against the King James Bible, 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. But the King James accurately says the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that at all. The NIV says the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's exactly what they're saying. See, Palmer doesn't think the word and means that is or even and includes our Lord and Savior. The righteousness of God and our Savior. That means God, even our Savior. It means in the King James English and in the word and the word Greek word chi, it means even Jesus Christ. It's not wrong. It's accurate. And they're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill again, as we said before. Point number 89 out of 91 things that Palmer has against the King James Bible. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 4, where the King James actually says, where is the promise of his coming? Nothing wrong with that. Actually, clear. Palmer says, how odd that even some modern versions persist in this error. He calls it an error. He says the NEV, or let me see, NEV, New English Version, NASB, and so on. The scoffers knew where the promise was, so they say, well, we've got to have the NIV rendering. Where is the coming he promised? Wrong, 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 wrong again. The NIV, in typical fashion, promise of his coming is a verb that is a participle, his coming. They change it to a finite verb that he promised. Where is his coming? He promised. Instead of his promise, the promise is a noun. They change it to a verb, he promised, of his coming. And so this again, not necessary, the promise of his coming. We understand what it means, and they change it. The coming that he promised is not necessary at all. Point number 90 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is found in Jude 7, where the King James Bible accurately says, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. No problem with that at all. He says there are two problems. Number one, since fornication is ambiguous, it's not ambiguous. The KJV is misleading. Number two, what is strange flesh? Well, that's what the Greek says, strange flesh, different type of flesh. The NIV says gave themselves up to sexual immorality. That's what fornication is. And perversion instead of strange flesh. That's not the rendering of strange flesh, perversion. That's an interpretation. And this is certainly not warranted in this case. Point number 91 out of 91 things that Palmer hates about the King James Bible is in Jude 19, where the King James accurately says, these are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Then he says, the NIV, there are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. They say that clears the thing up. Men who divide you, these are they who separate themselves. That's not who divide you, it's to separate themselves. Complete mistranslation of the Greek text. And as far as the rest of the verse, separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, what's wrong with that? They say, who follow mere natural instincts. That is addition after addition after addition. Sensual is the Greek term that's translated properly. And they put a whole sentence almost, who follow mere natural instincts. And having not the Spirit is another thing. But they've added to the words of God these various things. Well, my friend, these are the 91 things Palmer hates about the King James Bible. And we believe that they're accurate, they're translations that are proper, and this thing certainly should not be against our King James Bible. We should stand with it and go with it. I've given you these 91 things, answered at least the best we can in the time before us. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or give us our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Be sure to ask for the Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you've got confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long.